Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives or become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to encourage you to support our listener support campaign. And you can support the campaign at support.greatdetectives.net. Throughout the year, we send thank you gifts to those who help make the show possible by supporting the program. Anyone who sends a donation of $7 or more, we give access to our premium site. And during our listener support campaign, if you send $20 or more, you will receive your choice of 4 ebooks, including All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, plus an additional thank you gift. Among the options we have are the great Harry Nile and Hillary Kane dramas produced by Jim French Productions in Seattle. I love Harry Nile. It was produced starting in the 1970s and then continued in the 1990s and early parts of the 21st century. Continues on with a new cast even today, but really, Jim French, who produces them, really recreated the feel of the golden age of radio and of that whole era of detective fiction. And for your donation of $100 or more, we will send you a complete Harry Nile, History of Harry Nile box set starring the late Phil Harper, either volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, and with each set containing more than 20 episodes and more than 8 hours of listening enjoyment. We also have the Hillary Kane mysteries, which are a mystery comedy series set in the 1930s in England, and Hillary Kane's just a lot of fun to listen to, and that's available with a donation of $75 or more. All right, well, let's go ahead and resume with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's time for the Cranesburg Matter, parts 2 and 3.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Melba Crane, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes, Miss Crane. I phoned a little while ago, and your maid said you were out.
She told me. Was there something you...
You've had a $20,000 pearl necklace stolen. I thought you might want to talk about it.
I have talked about it. The local police were quite thorough, Mr. Dollar.
Well, let's say there have been some new developments.
Like what?
That's what I want to see you about.
I suppose you want to come out here.
Oh, thank you. Will a half hour from now be convenient?
Couldn't we talk about this over the phone?
If 45 minutes will be better for you, I'll be glad to cooperate.
You seem to be a very persistent man.
I usually get what I go after.
Know something, Mr. Dollar?
What?
So do I.
Oh, then this might turn out to be interesting. See you in a half hour.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Cranesburg, Ohio, to the Home Office Tri-State Guarantee Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Cranesburg Matter. Expense account continued. Item, $20,000. The face value of the policy on a pearl necklace stolen 1 week ago from Miss Melba Crane. Young socialite, one of the last two surviving members of the town's most aristocratic family. And, according to her own statement, a girl who always got what she went after. Well, I'd almost got what I'd gone after. I'd at least made contact with Smiley Prell, a jewel thief who'd phoned Hartford and offered a deal. But that was all. Smiley had clammed up, started to stall, and implied the whole thing was blowing up in his face. And now the victim herself was trying to stall. And on top of everything else, a storm was coming up. I left my hired car near the coach house and walked down a long arbor toward the entrance to the Crane Mansion. It had been quite an estate once, still was. But the buildings needed a touch of paint here and there, and the gardens needed a gardener. Just a hint of wear and tear. It fit with what I'd learned at the bank. Though still tops in local society, Melba Crane and her Uncle Phineas were flat broke. I was reaching to ring the doorbell when I saw the couple in the sunroom. A man in a business suit and a girl in a maid's uniform. So busy with each other, they didn't even notice me at first. It was an intensely romantic scene, and I started to feel like a peeping Tom. The girl was still a little red-faced when she answered the door a few seconds later.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Johnny Dollar. I'd like to see Miss...
Dollar! You're the investigator about the robbery.
Lauder must have wired everybody in town.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to blurt it out that
way. Oh, I found it interesting. You know we're going to get a little wet if that rain starts?
Oh, won't you come in, Mr. Dollar?
Thanks.
You'll want to see Miss Crane, I imagine.
Yes, I think she's expecting me.
If you'll wait here, please.
Oh, by the way, I didn't interrupt you, I hope.
Interrupt? I'll tell her you're here, Mr. Dollar.
Thanks.
Bye, honey. See you later. Oh, hello. You must be the insurance fellow.
Did you get a wire, too?
A wire? Oh, no. Melba told me you were coming out. I'm a friend of the family, Mr. Dollar, Dean Sellers.
How are you, Mr. Sellers?
Melba and I are engaged, you know.
Congratulations.
Well, it's not recent.
Yeah, I know.
So you're a little hard to figure out.
I'm a complete enigma, Mr. Sellers. I believe you're the chap who gave Miss Crane the necklace, right?
Yes, it was an engagement present. Do you have any lead on it yet?
Nothing definite.
I understood you'd been contacted by the thief who stole it.
That's right.
Well, then you...
Well, I haven't actually seen the necklace yet, and until I do, I can't be positive this man ever, well, even has it. It wouldn't be the first time a professional jewel thief has tried to pull a swindle.
I see. Tell me something, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah?
Suppose you do get hold of the pearls. What happens to them then?
Well, that depends. If Miss Crane's claim hasn't been paid at the time, they go to her. If it has been paid and she refuses to reopen negotiations, then we sell the necklace to recover our losses.
And up till now, as I understand it, the claim hasn't been paid.
That's right.
I see. Well, I hope you get it back quick, then. The insurance won't cover the sentimental value.
Sentimental value to whom, Mr. Sellers?
To both of us. Oh, I know. I saw you outside the sunroom there.
Strictly unintentional.
What I mean is his appearances can be deceiving sometimes. I wouldn't want you to misunderstand.
Oh, I think I understand perfectly, Mr. Sellers.
Good.
Whether Miss Crane would or not may be something else again, though.
Oh, Melba's very understanding.
She must be.
Well, I've got to run on. She'll be down in a minute. My office is in the Ridley building. Drop in if there's any way I can help.
Thanks. I may just do that.
So long.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, that's all right. It gave me a chance to meet your fiancé.
Oh, were you talking with Dean?
We exchanged a few pleasantries.
Isn't he a darling?
Well...
Of course, he's a little headstrong sometimes, and impulsive. But
he never means any harm by it.
How did you know?
Oh, personal observation. And also, by an odd coincidence, that's exactly the way you were described to me.
Oh? Instead of beautiful, glamorous, seductive?
I imagine it was assumed that I could see those qualities for myself.
Hmm. I wonder if I should buy that as it is or analyze it first.
I warn you, I'm dangerously subtle.
I think you may be at that. Would you like a drink, or are you one of those always-stick-to-business types?
I'm even worse. I combine the two. I'll have scotch on the rocks.
Well, that's my drink.
Well, now we found something in common.
We already had something. The robbery.
Yeah, you want to talk about it?
Why not? I want that necklace recovered as much as you do.
Yes, I understand it has a high sentimental value.
Who told you that?
Your fiancé.
Oh. Here's your drink.
Thanks. To pearls, the frozen tears from the eyes of Allah.
A poetic cop.
More cynical than poetic. The man I heard call them that had just knifed a British colonial administrator and blown up a sampan with six Chinese fishermen aboard.
Why?
Nine pearls. He wanted them. There were 38 in that necklace of yours.
This man, did he get away with it?
Not exactly. He was shot to death on the Hong Kong waterfront. This is good scotch.
It is?
Another thing, Miss Crane, I am not a cop, poetic or otherwise.
It amounts to the same thing, doesn't it?
Well, in some ways. I'm not professionally concerned with identifying and capturing criminals and bringing them to justice. My obligations on that score are no more nor less than those of any other private citizen.
So?
So I'm hired by the insurance company to protect their interests. Usually that involves trying to recover stolen property or looking for evidence of insurance fraud.
I'm afraid I don't quite...
Sometimes I make deals, Miss Crane.
Meaning exactly what?
Meaning that if somebody should start something and get in over their head, I might listen to reason, try to work something out. A cop wouldn't. He's not permitted to.
Well, that would all be very interesting, I'm sure, to the person who stole the necklace.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
What about that person, Mr. Dollar, the jewel thief who phoned the insurance company?
Smiley Prowl. I talked to him a couple of hours ago, briefly.
Does he have the pearls?
I don't know. Do you mind if I have another drink?
Go ahead.
Thanks.
What do you mean you don't know? That's why you came here, wasn't it? To meet him and get them back?
He may not have them. He may just be trying to swindle the insurance company. That's not too uncommon a game, you know.
No, I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah. It's tried every now and then. The nicest people sometimes. Just looking at you.
You know, it seems to me you're taking this whole thing pretty calmly.
Well, that's merely a front. Inside, I'm a seething volcano.
Now, look.
Hey, tell me something. Why did you postpone your wedding?
I didn't. Dean was the one who... Now, what difference does it make? What's that got to do with it?
Do you think he's changed his mind about marrying you?
Suppose we leave Mr. Sellers out of it.
Can't. He's already in it. He's the one who gave you the necklace in the first place, an engagement gift. Has he called off the engagement, Miss Crane?
He hasn't. And he won't, regardless of any rumors you may hear to the contrary. Now, does that answer your question?
More or less.
Then suppose we leave my personal life alone and talk about the robbery. That is, if you're at all interested in it.
Where is the safe, Miss Green?
Safe? Oh, that the necklace was in. It's there behind that painting. Do you want to see it?
If you don't mind.
All right.
You and your uncle live here alone, as I understand it.
My maid, of course, Betty. Well, there's the safe. I doubt if you'll find any fingerprints or anything. The police spent hours on it.
Mm-hmm. That's a real old-fashioned one.
Our family's been around quite a while, Mr. Dollar.
Wouldn't be much of a job for a professional safecracker.
You mean even without the combination?
Even without. How did the thief get into the house? Force a window somewhere? A door?
No. With a key, I guess.
Oh?
You see, it happened in the afternoon. I'd gone out, and Uncle Phineas was out somewhere, as usual. The house was empty at the time.
What about your maid?
Betty? Well, after I left, she decided to go into town to do some shopping or something. Oh, they couldn't possibly have picked a better time.
Apparently not.
Would you like to look around the house?
No, thanks. I've got a pretty complete story from the police reports. Mostly I came out here to take a look at you.
And what's your verdict?
Maybe I'll do better with Smiley Prowl. I'm meeting him later.
Oh? And is he going to produce the necklace?
I don't know. He talked about a double cross. Said he might give me more than I was bargaining for. He was pretty upset.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, incidentally, Mr. Dollar, there's someone else you'll no doubt be talking to, and I want to warn you about him.
Who's that?
Uncle Phineas. Of course he means all right.
Is he headstrong and impulsive, too?
He makes up things sometimes, and he's, well, just a little bit vague.
Balmy, you mean?
Mr. Dollar, with people of our class, it's referred to as eccentric. I'm sure you understand.
I left the house filled with understanding and with some brand new questions about the Cranes that needed still more understanding. The lowering storm clouds had brought an early dusk, and it was nearly dark when I reached to open the door of my car. Then suddenly I caught a flash of white at the corner of the coach house. Somebody had seen me and tried to duck out of sight. I walked quickly across the driveway and moved quietly up to the corner of the building. How are you, Betty?
Mr. Dollar.
Can I help you with that?
No. I mean, I was just going to burn some trash.
Well, let me put it in the incinerator for you. Here.
No, please.
Sure you sorted these papers? There seems to be something heavy here.
Betty?
Let me have it, please. You won't understand.
Why, Miss Crane thought I was very understanding.
Betty?
You'd better run on. She sounds impatient. I'll take care of this for you.
No, please. You'll only... Oh!
I watched her disappear into the shadows, running toward the house. Then I unwrapped the package she'd been trying to hide in the incinerator. It was a .32 caliber revolver, and one chamber had been fired. Recently. Johnny Dollar.
This is Betty, Mr. Dollar.
Betty?
Miss Crane's maid. I'm the one who... Well...
Oh, yeah. What can I do for you, Betty?
Have you told anyone about it?
The gun? No, not yet.
Oh, thank heaven. Do you still have it?
Well, what do you think I'd do? Bury it somewhere?
Look, Mr. Dollar.
No, you look. Somebody's used this gun, used it recently. Who was it? You?
No, I never saw it before.
Then why were you trying to hide it in the incinerator?
I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing.
Is it your gun?
I found it.
Where?
Please.
Is it tied in with the theft of Miss Crane's necklace?
I don't know anything about it, about anything. I just know I'm in trouble. You've got to help me, Mr. Dollar. Please.
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Cranesburg, Ohio, to the Home Office Tri-State Guarantee Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Crane Matter. Expense account continued. Item 7, $3.10 for a bad steak and worse coffee in the hotel dining room. But it didn't matter much. I had to rush it anyway with one eye on my watch. I was meeting jewel thief Swanny Prell at his rooming house at 9 o'clock. And Melba Crane's maid Betty was coming here to the hotel at 10, providing she could slip away from the house. The schedule was tightening up on me, but I still hadn't seen hide nor hair of the stolen necklace. That is, if hide nor hair can apply to a string of match pearls insured for $20,000. 1412 North Oak Street was in a lost and forgotten corner of town, dark and nearly deserted at this hour of the evening. The rooming house, a ramshackle frame built flush to the sidewalk, seemed to wait for me, brooding in silence. There were no names on the letterboxes and no sign of an office. I tried the front door. It was open. Room 6 was the number Smiley had given me. I walked down the long hall, studying the numbers on the doors with a dim light from a single bulb at the far end. 4, 5, 6. I heard the barest hint of movement behind the door, then silence. I reached down quietly and turned the knob. The door was unlocked. I took a deep breath and then went in fast.
What the devil?
Take it easy, Mac. All right, hold it now till I find the light switch.
Well?
Well, I'll be.
Mr. Dollar.
Aren't you a little out of your territory, Mr. Crane?
I don't know what you mean.
Sit down before you shake your teeth loose.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Don't mention it.
If I may remind you who you're talking
to. You don't have to remind me. You're Phineas P. Crane, uncle of Miss Melba Crane, who had a pearl necklace stolen from her. You're one of the last two surviving members of the Crane family who founded Cranesburg.
Mr. Dollar, I...
And I have just caught you prowling the room of a known professional jewel thief. Now sit down.
I can explain this, sir.
Yeah, I hope so. I suppose our host isn't home.
There's no one else here.
Was the door unlocked, or were you equipped with a set of keys?
I beg your pardon.
Again? You're the most polite burglar I've ever tagged.
This is not the way it seems, I assure you.
All right, now you've assured me. Convince me.
I came to ask some questions of the gentleman who lives here.
Do you know him?
Certainly not. It's hardly likely that I'd be acquainted with a person of his type.
Oh, I don't know. He's a jewel thief. Your niece had a necklace stolen 10 days ago. It kind of adds up in a way.
Well, now, are you accusing me of complicity?
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just trying to find out what you were doing hiding here in Smiley Prell's room.
I... I came here to talk to him.
What about?
But the reasons are personal, Mr. Dollar.
Then you did know him?
No, I knew he lived here. Because I followed him one day. I didn't know his name. And I didn't know he was a jewel thief. Until you said so just a moment ago. I know. This seems rather odd.
Yeah, well, that's one way of putting it.
You'd understand if I were in a position to explain.
It might be a good idea if you got in that position, in view of the circumstances.
I simply cannot. And I do not believe your capacity is such that you can force me to.
You're quite right. But the police might handle it somewhat differently.
Oh, I doubt it very much. My grandfather founded this town. Yes, they remember that here.
A matter of pulling rank, huh?
Oh, I think they'd lean toward believing any reasonable story that I might give them.
A story like that is reasonable only as long as there's no actual evidence to disprove it.
Oh, is that so? And you have such evidence?
Not yet, but I think I will be for long.
Oh, then I'll have to deal with that eventuality when and if it happens.
Who are you trying to protect, Mr. Crane?
I don't know what you mean.
Why did you follow Smiley?
Because I saw him under rather unusual circumstances.
Before or after the robbery?
Both. Well, after. Yes, when I followed him.
When was that, tonight?
No, that was several days. But
did you expect him to be here tonight? Or were you counting on his room being empty?
I did not come here to commit burglary. May I remind you, sir?
Oh, yeah, I know. You're Phineas P. Crane, and you and your niece are the tip-top aristocrats on the local totem pole. Also, I happen to know your flatboy.
I imagine
$20,000 worth of insurance would look pretty good to you.
I am not a thief.
People have an odd moral sense sometimes. A lot of them seem to think insurance fraud is not quite the same as actual theft.
I do not happen to be one of those persons, Mr. Dollar.
What about your niece?
Well, that necklace was given to her as an engagement gift by the man she's going to marry. And I'm sure its value to her is much more than the amount of the insurance.
Maybe, and maybe not. You did tell me this afternoon that she's headstrong, impulsive.
Well, yes, but I did not mean to imply so.
All right, Mr. Crane. I imagine you'll be around when I want you. You're not the kind of man who runs away. So, for the moment, play it your way. Cover up and hide behind the family name. But sooner or later, you're going to have to talk it out with somebody. Either with me or someone else.
Am I free to go now?
Sure. Sure, as far as I'm concerned. Unless you want to stick around and wait for Smiley.
Well, I doubt whether there's much point in that now. Under the circumstances. Good night, sir.
Keep cool, Mr. Crane.
I shall make every effort to.
As soon as Crane left, I made a quick search of the room and found nothing. Smiley evidently traveled light and lived light. There was hardly any sign he was even living in the place. I gave it up as a bad job, finally, closed the door behind me and drove back to my hotel. I was starting to see a faint gleam of daylight in the case, but I couldn't quite figure how Phineas Crane fit into it. And unfortunately, I was in no position to push him very hard, since technically I had no more right in that room than he did. But all of my theories fell apart when I walked through the door of my hotel room.
Come right in, son. Have a seat.
Thanks. One of us could be in the wrong room, of course.
Not if your name's Dollar.
Oh, I wasn't questioning my presence, Mr.
You know a fella named Smiley Prell?
Well, I know who he is.
Got business with him, have you?
Maybe. Do I, have any with you?
My name's Durham, Mr. Dollar. Ed Durham.
Oh, well, it's a little late, Mr. Durham, so if you don't mind.
I'm chief of police here in Cranesburg.
Oh. Well, maybe it's not as late as I thought.
Found your name where this fella Prell had wrote it down, along with your room number here at the hotel.
Careless of him.
Kind of helpful, though. He a friend of yours?
No, I'd hardly call him that. Oh, I don't see any point in holding out on you, Chief Durham. Here are my credentials. I'm an insurance investigator working on that Crane robbery.
You don't say.
Smiley Prell is a jewel thief, 2 previous convictions. He phoned the insurance company in Hartford and wanted to talk a deal. I flew in here this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, these seem to be in order, all right.
Thanks. I had an appointment to meet Prell this evening in his rooming house at 9:00, but he didn't show.
Reckon he wasn't in much shape to, Mr. Dollar.
What do you mean?
Prell got himself shot 4 or 5 hours ago.
Shot?
Yeah. Real shot. Matter of fact, he's dead.
Murdered?
Kind of looks that way. Found him in a back alley behind the city park. Must have happened sometime this afternoon. You wouldn't know anything about it, would you, Mr. Dollar?
I don't know. I might. Do you know what kind of a gun was used to kill him?
.32 revolver, according to the boys in ballistics.
Well, hold on to your hat. I may have it right here.
Don't bother looking under the mattress, Mr. Dollar.
What?
I already found it. Yep, got it right here.
You're pretty cagey, aren't you?
Wasn't sure how to figure you. Reckon you're all right, though, or you'd have kept your mouth shut.
Well, thanks.
How'd you come by it?
I took it away from Melba Crane's housemate, a girl named Betty.
Yeah, I know who she is.
It was sometime between 6:30 and 7 this evening. I caught her trying to hide it in the incinerator.
You don't say.
It's been fired, as you undoubtedly noticed. You might have it checked through, but I don't imagine it's registered.
It's registered, all right.
Oh?
We don't have many guns around here. I recognize this one right off. Belongs to Phineas Crane.
What?
Add up to anything, Mr. Dollar?
Not the way I've been adding.
Well, it's got me stumped, too.
I don't suppose you found that necklace on Smiley Prell's body.
No, not a sign of it. You figure, then, this murder is tied up some way with that robbery?
What else is there to figure? What about these Cranes, Chief? Just who are they? What are they?
Well, an old-line family. Just two of them left now, Phineas and Melba. Not as wealthy as they used to be, maybe.
Milton Borkley at the bank told me the same thing.
Funny thing about that, though. Lately, at least, old Phineas seems to have plenty of cash to jingle together.
How lately?
Now, not just since the robbery, if that's what you mean. It's longer than that. Last 4 or 5 months.
Well, that checks, too, with what Borkley said.
You got some idea they planned that robbery, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, I don't know. I've got no evidence of it, if that's what you're asking. How do Phineas and Melba get along together?
Well, they're kind of like royalty here, you know. Live pretty much to themselves. And if they do have any trouble, it's never heard outside the house.
Uh-huh. What do you know about Melba's fiancé, this Dean Sellers?
Well, he's been here about 8 months. Seems to be a pretty nice fellow. Civic leader and all that. Everybody in town thought it was just fine when they got engaged. Figured they was meant for each other.
Well, he certainly goes in for lavish gifts. A necklace with 38 match pearls is quite...
Expecting somebody?
Yeah, quiet. Who is it?
Betty, let me in, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, just a minute. She phoned earlier, wants the gun back. Maybe you'd better listen in from the bathroom there.
Good idea. Let me get set.
Okay, right. Come in, Betty.
Thank you. I've got to have it back, Mr. Dollar.
Have what back? The gun you were trying to hide in the incinerator this evening?
Yes, of course.
You mean this one?
Oh, yes. Please, Mr. Dollar. Somebody's trying to get me into trouble.
Who?
I don't know. I found that gun. That's the truth.
Found it where?
Hidden in a drawer in my room out at the Cranes.
Who put it there?
I don't know. I don't know. When I saw it, I got scared. I was trying to get rid of it when you stopped me. And now, tonight, on the radio, it says a man's been shot.
Did you know him?
No.
Do you know whose gun this is?
I don't know anything about it. Oh, give it to me, please.
I'd like to, Betty. But I'm afraid things aren't that simple.
What do you mean?
All right, Chief. It's all yours.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a castle crumbles. Cupid goes to jail. And a lovely iceberg thaws a bit. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
That talk by Johnny, about being able to cut deals and is not being his job to catch criminals was kind of interesting. Welcome back, by the way. That was, of course, in part two. Of course, with Johnny's sense of justice, he usually will end up doing that anyway, even if it's not strictly in the job description. Though back when it was just jewel theft, he may just have let some things slide. Clearly, we're left with a puzzle, but we're also left with some clear direction. Whether it's misdirection? Well, we'll find out on Friday when we'll actually have both parts 4 and 5. And remember, for even though there's a little bit of confusion, that the first two parts were part 1 and part 1A. Well, now that we're all thoroughly confused, let's turn to listener comments and feedback. I had a comment regarding episode 1185, the Crystal Lake matter. Eric says, Crystal Lake? Wasn't that Jason's stomping ground? You don't think? Nah, couldn't be. Of course, Jason in this case, I've not watched the films, but I've heard of them. Jason, of course, reference to Friday the 13th, and apparently the setting there was Crystal Lake. Of course, that wasn't the only old-time radio show to use the name Crystal Lake as the name of a location. I was just checking the through some other old-time radio shows, and Armis Brooks actually had a program that was also set at Crystal Lake. I do think that from a frightening perspective, that it's probably a lot more frightening to have something set at a place that something horrific set at a place that sounds normal or maybe even peaceful. Older scary radio programs I have often have creepy things happening in creepy places, which isn't nearly as terrifying because most of us stay away from the creepy places. Though not being a connoisseur of the genre, there could be a lot of productions that during the Golden Age that go another route. Finally, we have a comment on the Box 13 feed in iTunes. I love listening to Box 13. Thanks for putting it on podcast. Well, you're welcome. All right, well, that will actually finish that portion of the show. I do want to encourage you to support our listener support campaign. And we have experimented with adding a lot of physical items. Just kind of see how listeners respond. Among those we added are some classic films. Some are those we played on the war. Others are just ones based on characters that we're doing on this series or about to do. Among the options we have available, for example, you can get either Casablanca or The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart for a donation of $50 or more if you're in the U.S. or Canada. And we have a lot of other options available. You can check them all out at support.greatdetectives.net. You can also email me at box13@greatdetectives.net, and I'll provide an address you can mail in your donation to. In the meantime, if you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, or become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Join us tomorrow for Nick Carter, and we'll be back on Friday with the conclusion of the Cranesburg matter. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.